Welcome, everybody, to Red Pill Nation Hangout number 9. Okay, we got a few different events on this week. Hold on a second here. Just to bring up the end and mute the phone. No, sorry, mute the speaker on this so that I don't come up with an echo. Waiting. I'm just gonna say
Mute.
a quick hello to anybody who might be joining us on from Minds, Gab, or Twitter tonight. That's why I took a little extra time there, Rearson. I wanted to invite I sent out a bunch of new links to a bunch of new Bunch of new sites gonna be expanding on this as I go along. I can tell you that my interview on my other channel went well. It was my first live interview on my other channel. I'm gonna have to do a little bit of editing because I revealed a little bit too much personal information. Again, probably by the time this hangout starts becoming rather famous, it will be buried so deeply in the files that it won't matter anymore. But better to be safe than sorry. I mean, they took the time to go through all of PewDiePie's information, all of his videos to find stuff to prove that he was a neo-Nazi, including one point where he was pointing his hand out of frame to the upper, it was to the upper left, and they used that to prove that he was a Nazi. Just to give you an idea of how dishonest the people we are that we're going up against. The topics tonight. What?
I already know.
Yeah. So the topics tonight my sneezing. Feminist fight clubs, liberal forests through changes to Canada's national anthem, grid girl ban, and MGTOW civil war. I think it's very appropriate that we start off with Justin Trudeau polled.
God.
Justin Trudeau polled probably one of the
Justin Trudeau.
sleaziest.
Oh my God. All right, I got to start off on this one. I've never seen someone make a complete ass of himself and get thoroughly, properly, completely owned and trolled. Oh. There was a meme that I actually had seen on Facebook. And it's, I suppose when you're crossing the border to go into Manitoba, they took out Manny and put in people. So it's welcome to friendly people Toba. And I looked at that and went, what the hell? And then include in kind of going, oh God, yes. Yeah, that would be about appropriate. I guess you'll have to change Manitoulin Island to
People to
Manitoulin Island. And I don't remember who. I think this was on Paul, like a Paul Joseph Watson's latest video, and it's a rip. It's bending Trudeau over and ripping him a new asshole because he deserves it. But what do you do if you meet someone by the name of Guy Goodman? People, good people. How do you have to address his name? So it's just, regretfully, I look back at Rob Ford's publicity that he brought to Canada negatively, and I'll happily vote for some kind of an asshole like him. Because he at least has, he wants to turn the economy around like Trump south of the border. I'm much more for that than I am some social justice beta soy boy male who's cucked by his freaking wife. Oh my God. Oh, my head hurts just thinking about this. I quit running this country. Sorry, man.
I'm so you mentioned Rob Ford. I'm like literally thinking to myself, yeah, I would vote for Rob. Because I mean, Rob Ford, as corrupt as he was, and as big of a bully as he was, if you went to Rob Ford with a complaint, and if he didn't have any personal stake in it, like he would actually do something about the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's, he was corrupt as fuck. And I was like, literally, and all four, I think it was all three or four of those kids that were in that photo with Rob Ford are either all dead or in jail or are missing. And what a strange coincidence that all happened like less than 3 or 4 months after that photo came out. You know, so yeah, he pulled political punches to get those kids either killed or taken out in some form or fashion. Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I would still take him over Justin Trudeau. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't even remember. What was the name of Stephen Harper? I would take Harper over Justin Trudeau. I can't believe I'm actually saying that.
Excuse me. I think in light of everything that Trudeau has done and his first faux pas was fawning over the death of Castro. And I think it was at that point that I just went, shit, I made a mistake.
Oh.
I know I've made a mistake, but the only reason why I voted for that dumbass is he was looking at electoral reform. I didn't care per se for him, but I was kind of at the point where I'm like, you know what? It's time for Steve to go.
Well, my personal issues with Steve, because he had some ideas that I liked, but at the same time, he was doing, like, he was taking away environmental regulation. I mean, and Justin is doing the same thing, but he's doing it in, like, an autocratic way. But, I mean, Harper was taking away environmental monitoring and, you know, and he was also cracking down on the internet, like, really, really hard. So, I mean, there was a few issues about Stephen Harper. I mean, he had to go, too. But I'm like, you know, in less than 4 years, Justin has made me want Stephen Harper to come back. You know, like, I literally would be considering, I'm literally considering voting conservative next time around.
Oh, I already am. There was,
because I don't even want to consider the possibility of them forming an alliance with the New Democrats at this point to stay in power. And yeah, Justin would do that.
Well, I mean, gentleman that I consider to be a mentor, and I don't use that term very, very easily with people in my life, but he pointed out, excuse me, and he said it quite succinctly, is that the Liberal Party of Canada, and I suppose of Ontario and every other province that's out there that accepts them, Alberta excluded, and I guess BC as well. The Liberal Party overall of Canada, they are the biggest political sluts out there. They will do, they're the stereotypical do whatever it takes to get the vote. Make all of these lofty promises, have all of these god-awful photo ops and the whole freaking bit. And there you go. I will not be voting for that soy boy running Ottawa because, simply put, for the exclusive private member's bill, M103. If you want to turn me off to any political party, pull something like M103 and I will drop it like a hot potato and I will find something else in an opposition party. And I don't care what it is, almost, but I will align myself with that party.
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
He pulled. Go ahead, Pearson. You're up.
Sorry, you cut out on me there, man.
Oh, I did? Oh, okay. He intentionally cut off debate in the Senate and just rammed it through. A private member's bill. It was very clear that the discussion on this hadn't been finished. And he did it over a minor inconsequential issue to make himself look good and probably also to tell the people that are opposing to him. I also suspect to tell people who are opposed to him, look what I can do. I mean, that was more of an intentional show of force on his part, I think.
To say the least, yes. Now, he apparently is also the first prime minister in Canada to be charged with 4 violations of... He's broken the law on basically 4 occasions. And he has no intention of holding himself accountable. Now, I don't know how strong Scheer is going to be in the debates, but I think he's probably going to mop the floor with him. Because you have to remember, when you give our pretty boy Floyd enough time to practice his speech, just like Oprah at the Oscars or Obama, when there's a teleprompter, he's perfectly fine. When he has to think on his feet, he's a dithering idiot.
Oh, I know that type quite well. I know the type quite well. Yep, so he's got all...
No, go ahead.
You know, he's got all his... I mean, he's basically like Bush Jr. could barely hold a light up to his dad. Same thing as here. I mean, he's a pale imitation of his dad. I mean, Trudeau was unpopular... arrogant as well, but I mean, Trudeau didn't cave into special interests the way this guy does.
No.
Pierre Trudeau. And by the way, Pierre Trudeau is Justin's father. I've seen pictures of Pierre Trudeau when he was around Justin's age. And yeah, he, except for the fact that Pierre Trudeau was balding and Justin isn't, you could definitely tell they're father and son. Castro's not the dad.
Well, fair enough. That. I've mentioned this before on Facebook with some guy. I think he lives up in Alaska, and it was going on about the physical resemblance to Castro in his youth, when he was a lot younger. I can see it, but at the end of the day, I'd like to see a DNA test with... Actually, I have to remember this now. There is... one of Castro's daughters is living in Miami, and I'd like to see her DNA compared to Justin's DNA and see if there is common heritage to put the matter to rest.
Well, either way,
I don't care who his father is, but I would just like to have that put to rest.
Well, based on what I saw pictures of Pierre Trudeau when he was around the same age as Justin. And yeah, you can tell, at least with me, it was pretty conclusive that he's dad. Just
fair enough.
Side by side at the same age.
Yeah. What I can say about Soy Boy compared to his father. And I can't stand his father now because his father's a Marx. He follows the Marxist doctrine. And that's not something that's really healthy for any country's economy. So it's the biggest reason why I don't care for him. But at the end of the day, Trudeau did what he was going to do, like the Chinese, with complete authority. And he was, much like I disagree with Marx, but Marx was an intellectual and a smart man. Trudeau Sr., Pierre, he was also an intellectual. And again, I disagree with him on a lot of things that he did. But at the end of the day, he was able to think for himself.
And he kept the country. He kept the country together, too. Don't forget that.
Well, the way that things should have, or maybe could have gone with Quebec and the FLQ at the time, maybe we'd be better off if you just let him go. Debatable either way. I don't know. But he understood that he needed to keep the country together, so he did. He was ruthless about it. It had to be done. I don't completely agree with it, but I don't completely disagree with it. But, and I've heard Ezra Levant talk about Junior, and he doesn't have a high opinion of him, not just because he's Trudeau's son, but because, intellectually speaking, if it isn't science or technology, Justin doesn't really have a clue as to what he's talking about. So he's consider him to be intellectually stunted at best. I've taken, just out of curiosity, you know about the first conflict of interest with him going to that, to taking
a the island chat.
Yes. Are you aware in 2009 or so that he did meet that billionaire as well before?
I recall reading something about it, but I don't know the specific details.
So basically, he's been in conflict, potential conflict of interest with this guy twice. The first time is that he was a MP, a member of parliament, and it was nothing more than that. And for anybody that's going to be listening, the previous elected Liberal leader of the Liberal Party of Canada, prior to Justin Trudeau, is Michael Ignatieff, who happens to work for a university, and he's part of the Open Society Foundation. And he's a direct lackey of Mr. George Soros.
Oh, you've mentioned this before.
Yes. And about the first month or so after Justin was elected, there was an immigration policy panel, board, whatever you want to call it, committee. And it was the Canada-Soros immigration plan. And this was on the CBC. You can look that one up somewhere. I don't know where you'd find it, but it's on there. I looked at that. My jaw dropped. I went, oh, shit. So really, all we need to do is to have enough idiots in Vancouver, Ontario. Yeah, Vancouver and Ontario would probably be enough to sway. Yeah, it probably would be the twits in Toronto and Vancouver specifically. Maybe Montreal. Not sure. Actually, I don't know what Quebec thinks of them.
They went New Democrat in the last election. Don't forget that. If they're strongly NDP right now, which is really weird, because they didn't expect that.
Well, let's face it, the Bloc Québécois, or the BQ, they imploded. The Bloc did, it's not that they didn't do anything for Quebec, but Quebec wasn't able to separate its interests from the country. At least this is how I see it. So the electorate. Oh, is that the thing with the NDP? And that's right, it was under Mulcair that they did this. but under Mulcair, he was able to get young people to get involved in politics. So I think between seeing fresh, new, young faces to connect with younger voters and a declining BQ leadership, because Gilles Duceppe, I guess, well, you know this, the longer you stay in politics, the sooner or later, the longer in politics you stay, the more likely that you're going to wear your welcome out, especially if your leader hasn't really done for much for your constituents. So I think that's where the NDP rose and the Bloc fell. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, well, I really don't think much of Quebec. I mean, the only thing I remember when we were sitting there in the basement of that hotel playing D&D the night of the referendum, mm-hmm. running upstairs to check the vote as it slowly started to sink, go towards the yes side in terms of staying in Canada, and feeling quite relieved when I found out that they weren't, and we weren't going to have to kick out send half of our staff home on the bus.
Oh yeah, down at the bottom of the boo. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a couple of the guys in the kitchen. There was a couple of separatists that worked in the kitchen, and they actually thought they were going to keep their jobs after Quebec separated, and it was like, no. You're going on the first bus back to Montreal, and you're going to stay in Quebec because you're no longer a Canadian citizen. Anyway.
Stay or go, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just make up your mind, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been 20. Go ahead.
Well, you see, that's the funny thing about Quebec is that, or Quebecers, is that they don't. I don't think that they really think things through. They have a sizable population in Montreal, and yes, they basically control the St. Lawrence River shipping if they wanted to. Wouldn't last very long, but if they wanted to. But great ideas like that $5 a day daycare, which I agree with in principle, but when I think about the wages that are involved, the operational costs and whatnot, that is a huge social program that just, I can't quite justify having it. But I understand why it should be there. So when they're, excuse me. I don't believe that they really see the long-term implications of what their future is or how dependent they really are to stay within Canada. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I will. And it's so mentally draining just thinking about all of it. If anything's going to happen with separation, it's going to be here in this province, my friend.
Oh, it'll be in BC.
No, I don't think so.
BC or Alberta, or both at the same time.
If anybody's going to leave, like if there are going to be any two provinces that are going to leave, I have a strong feeling it's going to be Alberta, followed closely by Saskatchewan. Because remember, right now as well, locally or provincially. Rachel Notley has thumbed her nose at BC for, you know, a wine ban, banning wine from being sold in the province. It's not going to happen. But she has enough Hogarth, whatever the guy's name is, the Premier of Alberta. She worked for him before. So those two are bosom buddies, I guess, is one way to say it, politically speaking. So she's not going to do very much. And at this point in time right now, if the by-elections are any indication of what's to come, Rachel's ass is going to be kicked out the door. She may retain her seat, but she's only going to have a four-year run of running the province. And she's done a really good job up to this point of making sure that things are more difficult for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Now, do you pay for natural gas?
No, I don't. I have electricity. And we're really getting off topic here too, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, anyway, Trudeau has, everybody was, remember when he said, well, it's 2015 and, you know, we need to have, you know, it's time to modernize everything. Not necessarily. Now it's 2018 and he's just shown the world of how much of an idiot he is. So.
Oh, why do you wipe your ass with crepe paper? Because it's 2015. Why did you declare war on China? Because it's 2015. I remember that video. I can't remember who made it, but it was
I can't wait to see what Sargon has to say about him. Oh my god!
I think it was Sargon who made that video. It was like, and just made that statement because it's 2015. So he took, because it's 2015. He posted up these ridiculous things like, "Why did you declare war on China, Justin Trudeau? Because it's 2015." Why did you wipe your ass with crepe paper? Because it's 2015. Anyway.
I'm gonna wait to see what Sargon has to say about this one. But
he's already commented on the national anthem. Trudeau, it was about as much of a dick move as you could get. He did it on something that really didn't matter on. It tells you where his priorities as a human being are, and they're not for the best interests of the country.
No, they're not there for his
you know, if it wasn't for the fact that he's legally obligated to stay in NATO and NORAD, I mean, he would stab Trump in the back in a cold second. And no. I mean, I know you like Trump. But I mean, I would rather at this point, I'm actually glad that we're in NORAD, in NATO, and that he's legally obligated to pick up some of the bill for the defense of North America, because he would absolutely walk away from Trump if he had the opportunity.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that at all. Well, there was the UN vote for recognizing Jerusalem, and Trudeau was smart to abstain. So, which is basically everything I would expect anyway. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, so Justin Trudeau is an asshole.
No,
we can all agree on it.
No, he's a fucking moron, is what he is. He's a fucking idiot. I don't know what the IQ score requirement is to be a moron, but I think he's lower than that.
I don't know if there is an official IQ score. I've met some pretty stupid, smart people.
Well, right.
Okay.
The world. Anyway, yes.
Now we're on to the next issue, which is, and I showed you the videos for this one as well, Feminist Fight Club. Oh, Adrian, welcome aboard. You're joining just in time. We just finished talking about what an idiot Justin Trudeau is.
Okay.
If you don't know what the issue was here, Justin Trudeau pulled legal shenanigans. He forcibly ended debate in the Senate so that they could change the national anthem. It was clear that the debate wasn't, and yeah, it was a complete dick move and a complete mangina move on his part. We just finished talking about him. We were going to move on to the Feminist Fight Club just when you joined in. I don't know how much you know about Justin Trudeau, but if you want to comment on that, have at her.
I know very little about Justin Trudeau, only that something that he did was on the Australian radio today, something about replacing the word mankind with the word peoplekind.
That's the one.
That's the last thing I heard about him.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, they're going to change Manitoba to Peopletoba. And Manitoulin Island to Peopletoulin Island. Oh, God, yeah. I hadn't even really noticed that. I was just mostly about just basically pulling a serious, like, thug move over a private member's bill. It really didn't matter. And it was like it leave the national anthem the way it is. I mean, I was around in 1980 when they changed the national anthem before. But, I mean, it got, oddly enough, just his dad, Pierre, was prime minister when that happened. And there was a little bit of, there were a few feathers ruffled back then, but, I mean, they came to a consensus. I mean, Justin didn't even allow for an extended debate on the issue. He just basically just rammed it through.
Well, don't forget, he adores, he admires the Chinese government method of changing things around as they see fit. So it takes a dictator to admire a dictator.
Okay, so I think we can finish off with Justin Trudeau.
Please.
The next topic, and I know you saw this one because I sent you the link for it, Paul, Feminist Fight Club.
Oh my God, my balls just retracted into my fucking body. Thank you. Oh. Okay, if there was any reason that a man could consider to go gay, I'm sorry. Those British bipedal bovines, porcines, I don't know. Disgusting, every single one of them, especially that.
Oh, there was a man in there too. Don't forget that one of them was the man.
No, well, semi-man. Well, probably in transition, or it could be a mangina who's just not going to get any.
No, there were manginas in the back of the room. Remember, you saw the video of the guy in the back of the room. I'll send you the link.
Adrian, we apologize in advance because once this is seen, it cannot be made unseen.
Okay.
If you've had any thoughts that maybe you should become gay, this might help solidify that.
I haven't seen it. I've seen people comment on it at the moment, so I have no idea what it is. But I can imagine. Now, I've actually seen the Murphy Fight Club, and if I remember correctly, it ended with the main character realizing that he was sort of hallucinating the entire time, and so I'm wondering if this is their way of saying that they're mentally unstable.
Mentally unstable wouldn't be too far off the mark with this bunch.
Nothing really is with this bunch.
No, mentally unstable would definitely qualify. Well, first of all, the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And there they are, talking about Fight Club.
I was thinking
bashing Theresa May while they're doing it. Which is basically what this is about. Oh, we're just about to get to we're fighting each other, taking aggression out because we're protesting Theresa May.
Okay, well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, just wait 10 to 15 years when you're going to have to basically submit your complaining about the patriarchy now. And this is a Judeo-based Christian, Judeo-based society. 15 years from now, what's happened in Cologne, you're going to hate life even more and wish that things didn't change.
Yeah, well, here's because I should have announced this right at the start of the show. It's Valentine's Day next week. So it's going to be a big, huge, going to get a few MGTOWs on here, and we're going to be talking about what we did to boycott Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
Next week. I'm pretty sure they would have something very interesting to say about the Feminist Fight Club. But yeah, what really, I mean, you saw the video about the Fem. By the way, Adrian, I sent you the link for it. There were guys sitting in the back of the room when I saw this video, and I'm like thinking to myself, how desperate, how hard up do you have to be to attend an event like this to get laid? That's the first thing I was thinking. Now, maybe they're not there to get laid, but I mean, it's like, I can think of better things to be doing with my time. Then watch a bunch of pissed off feminists fight.
I think that should actually, at this point, that isn't that like illegal? Like in Australia, I don't know about everywhere else in the world, but in Australia we have this campaign called White Ribbon Day that happens once every year. Oh shit. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
I can hear you, yep.
Okay, my computer just started to freeze on me. Anyway, the whole day is about how, you know, violence against women is freaking horrible, and no one should ever perpetrate it. And here these women are beating the living crap out of each other, which is, if that's what you want to do with your time. And comments like, I think of Theresa May, I think of the man who catcalled me, I think they're just a bit unhinged comments, but I guess if that's what makes you angry, then yeah, I guess that's the sort of thing that'll rev up for the fight. But I just sort of wonder, if they can actually make a living out of this. I wonder if they can actually, like, because, you know, fighting and boxing is a pretty popular sport. But I mean, I don't watch it. But if they're really serious about, you know, doing this, they should try to get some sponsors or some shit. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who would be willing to watch two people beat the crap out of each other, because it's already popular.
I'm surprised the BBC hasn't jumped on this one as an idea yet. Mind you, there are four, five, what, six channels, with or without Jordan Peterson, but anyway. My reaction to the video was just gobsmacked about how horrific. Well, mind you, I'd like to know the motivation of that one, dare I call her a bipedal walrus. She had the really, really bad makeup job, self-imposed. I don't know. But anyway, but with that one walrus, how much more disgusting could she make herself look? But then again, that's probably what she wanted anyway, was the shock value. So, I mean, unless you know someone who's going to be chasing chubbies, she's going to be barren for a long time.
Well, she was like, think guy who cat called me, and it was like, what called you?
If I'd be calling her anything, I'd be, you know, bitch, skank, fanny. I know that's a really bad way to say these things in Australia, but ugh.
Well, it I mean, it's like, you know, because we're gonna get into this when we talk about the grid girls next. You know, I mean, those catcalls are usually reserved for the hot chicks.
Whoa.
And these are that was the other one that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. So yeah, they're usually reserved for the hot chicks. They're not reserved for they're not usually reserved for the land whales. You know, the land whales, you get on a harpoon, you break up the whale songs, and you lure them away.
Ugh.
All right, I don't even, again, we're going to get into this when we talk about the grid girls.
To be honest, this is actually something that I could support, I could get behind. I mean, there's this idea, there's this myth, basically, that women basically aren't violent or can't be violent. And to me, anything that destroys this myth is actually a positive thing. And even though these women are saying things that I don't agree with, that some of the things that they're saying I think is stupid, I don't think their little fight club is going to destroy the patriarchy, if there ever was a patriarchy. I don't think they're going to achieve much other than make a fight club. But I actually, like, if they do one thing, it might be to successfully get people to realize that women can be violent, and look at how much damage women can do when they decide to be violent. And I hope that's the kind of thing that people take away from it, rather than patriarchy this and whatever that. I think that's one positive thing that could come from the whole affair.
That's an interesting take. I hadn't considered that. I might just change my mind about this. I mean, I personally think it's a bit of a joke myself. But having Fight Club is one of my all-time favorite films, because there's a lot of these, well, there's things about it that appeal to me. I mean, there's a part of my ego that's just getting really annoyed about the fact that my all-time favorite movie is being twisted around by these, pardon my term, fat land whales to protest something. And I'm just like, okay, well, it's a democracy and we live in Western society. Do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of males, for instance, that would absolutely be willing to join up with something like this. Although I don't think they'd be out as nearly as out are with these women, though, that these women would be.
Yeah.
Well, if they sleep better at night, more power to them, but that's all I'm going to say.
Yep. Okay. I think we've had our. I think we've had our fill of Feminist Fight Club. Let's get on to the next topic, and this is one because I've been trying to get a couple of girls to come on and do a hangout on this particular topic, and it actually segues nicely into what we were just talking about. Formula One and darts no longer have grid girls. 24 or 48 hours after they announced that they were taking grid girls out, they came up with grid kids. Now there's two schools, and of course feminists everywhere are screaming about the fact that they just took jobs away from hundreds of women. There's two different, well really. I've done event security before. I did security at the Vancouver Indy for a couple of years. You know, hot again, hot chicks, hot women in cars, they're kind of almost like synonymous with each other.
Like,
you know, so I mean, cigarettes. Yeah, they're like alcohol and cigarettes. They're like synonymous with each other. I mean, it was like part of the appeal of an auto show was to go there and see, take a look at the eye candy and take a look at the cars. But on a segue to that, though, and this ties into the Feminist Fight Club, and this is what a friend of mine said. You know, I mean, you think the 300-pound land whales are going to be able to do it? I mean, I go to auto shows and Formula One to see the cars, not see the woman blocking the car because she's so big that you can't see the car. Or have the shocks go out on the vehicle when she sits in it. Ugh. Yeah, and there's also another factor here. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of, again, the Hockey Night in Canada anthem. CBC allowed the copyright on the Hockey Night in Canada anthem to lapse about 10 years ago. And there was a huge, yes, there was a lot of anger, but because that was effectively Canada's second national anthem in the minds of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it was done by somebody at CBC who was a bean counter and obviously didn't understand or didn't grasp the fact that that particular song had worked its way right into the Canadian psyche. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing here. I mean, yeah, it may have just been a move to appeal to feminists because there was an SJW making the decision, but I can't also dismiss the fact that Formula One has events in third world countries where child labor is very cheap and very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And you suddenly no longer have to pay grid girls to show up and promote the event. And it's not, they get paid well for their gigs. You know, just like I got paid well to do security at some of these events. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was probably.
It may have nothing to do with the, you know, modern times and all of that. It might just be that free child labor is almost free anyway, is better for their bottom line. It might not be a moral argument at all.
Oh no, it could just be that they're just using feminism as kind of like a veneer to save a few bucks and to not employ, well, grid girls and walk-on models, because darts also went that way. And I'm like, that is the kind of move that somebody who is like completely out, just like that guy, that person at CBC who allowed the Hockey Night in Canada anthem jingle to expire. The person who is doing this is obviously, I mean, if you're going to work in Formula One, you should at least know something about the sport that you're working for. You know, like, did this guy ever go out, or woman, actually ever go to an actual racing event and see the fact that there's these grid girls walking around? Because, I mean, you see them virtually every time you go, every time I go to one. I mean, Indy still has them, for instance. I don't think Indy has an event in Australia. I don't know if Formula One does. But the IndyCar circuit in North America, you know, you go to one of those racing events and the grid girls are everywhere. You know, like, they're synonymous with the sport. In any sport, sporting event, NASCAR, just a regular auto show, they're pretty much everywhere. So, I mean, the person who's doing this is either a complete cuck or somebody that was so out of touch with the reality of their sport. that they didn't realize, they did, just didn't know or care that, I mean, this is part and parcel of sport. And yeah, and I mean, I ripped into a couple of women who basically went in there and basically said, well, these women are just basically there for because of male sexual preference. And I had to point out to them, it's like, yeah, you know, I like fucking hot women, you know.
How did that go?
I told them I don't care.
You may like fucking hot women, but how often do you do it?
Often enough. I'm a MGTOW, so I don't go actively go out and pursue it. I'm like, there's a guy you probably, actually, he's from Australia. His name's Spetsnaz. His policy on, he's MGTOW like me, and his policy is he doesn't actively pursue it, but he's still able to get it.
Okay, fair enough.
Because, yeah, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, females have sexual preference, males have sexual preferences, right? It's like, it's a proven biological fact, even with men that have been blind since birth, that the hip to waist to bust ratio is something that males prefer, even if they've never had sight ever. So this is not something that's culturally learned, it's something ingrained into our genes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Test.
I'm still here. Looks like you might have gone down. All right.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh.
Oh, okay. There's that awkward silence.
Well, I was expecting somebody to pick up right after I said that, and neither one of you two guys did. So,
there's really not much to say. I mean, you know, the issue really, to me, in my mind, seems to be that people have. Certain people, feminists, really have an issue with men liking things. Like that Jordan Peterson interview with, I don't know what the fuck her face is now. I don't remember her name. Yeah. Let's just call her retard. whoever she is, you know, she literally looked at him and she said, you know, most of your fans are men. Don't you think that's a problem?
Yes,
you know, as if the fact that a man liking something is in itself a problem, and this is an attitude that many feminists seem to have, that if a man likes something, then it must be oppressive. Like, these women are there because men like it, and because men like it, it must be oppressing women somehow. And you know, it's. I don't understand their logic, because there's plenty of things that women like to do that don't oppress men or anybody else. You know, I just sort of wonder where their, you know, where their mind is at, realistically. Well,
this kind of comes from when I did my men's weekend, this thing about It's fear-based. I don't think it's logic-based. It's fear-based. They can't control that particular issue. They can't control male-dominated groups. And since we're talking about batshit crazy feminists here, they're imagining that we're doing all sorts of things that we're not actually doing. Because, I mean, I do regular Sterling men's meetups all the time. You know, like, we are not talking about how much we dislike women at these men's groups. Like, we're talking about issues in our lives that are really important. Some guys are going through some nasty divorces, some guys are in fucked up relationships, you know, but we're not talking about how we're gonna put that effing bitch in her place. You know, we're talking about how we can get through it or come up with a solution for it. It's not about bashing women. That's their mind. It's a fear based. This is just me going on it's a fear based system. They just imagine that we're just doing all plotting and scheming and doing all these horrible, atrocious things, and they need to be there to make sure that we're not doing it, that we're not oppressing people or whatever. And it's not a logically based thing. Because if it had been a logically based thing, if they had stopped for a few minutes to think through what was actually going on, and most of them have been told what goes on at most of these men's events. I mean, when men are around, most of the time, I mean, we're barely even talking about women. I mean, MGTOW tends to be the exception to that rule, especially guys that are not through the red pill rage. But for the most part, when a group of men get together, I mean, women rarely ever enter the picture. I mean, we hardly ever talk about women when women aren't around, when men are together in groups, for the most part. You know, and they just imagine that we do, and that's not the situation at all. I mean, they're not the center of our universe. And yeah, no, it's not a logically based system. It's an emotionally based, which is, I mean, I hate to say it, women tend to be a lot more emotionally driven than men. And that's my theory.
Not all of the time, unless your last name is Trudeau, but that's another story.
I sort of... To be honest, to a certain extent, I would disagree with that. I think men can be quite emotional at times. I think we let things like chivalry get in our way. I think we let our desire to do good for others sometimes to get into the way of what is the right thing to do. Excuse me. And I think a lot of male-led organizations trying to do things like, you know, there's a male-led organization somewhere dedicated to just figuring out what men's responsibility is in regards to stopping violence against women, you know. That organization, I'm sure the people in it, you know, are good people. They want to believe they're good people, but I can't look at organizations like that and think that they're not emotionally based, because it sounds to me that they are. And I think men are emotional just in a different way than what women are. And I think we're just more attuned to see women emoting than we are seeing men.
Yeah, I didn't make myself clear. God, men can be quite emotional, in fact. Men can be very intensely emotional. I'm specifically speaking about women's fear of men or male-dominated fields, and what they think we're doing versus what we think, what they fear we're doing versus what we're actually doing. Anyway, I think we've probably whipped this one to death. Fourth topic tonight, and we. This one could be a bit of a loaded topic. I ended up discussing this with Walking Away Man. If you don't know who Walking Away Man was, if you read the MGTOW Vice article that came out in 2015, when Lauren Southern showed up and filmed the slut walk in Edmonton, there was a guy there. He's MGTOW, and he's not afraid to publicly and openly admit that he's MGTOW. And he basically showed up because this was an LGBTQ support slut walk. So he decided to show up as a MGTOW, and he dressed completely in drag.
Oh, that explains the makeup. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I had an interview with him. It's actually up at the Red Pill Nation. It's up at the channel. We ended up commenting about this because Turd Flinging Monkey is really and maybe Spetsnaz are really the only two MGTOW that I know of that openly talk about coming to terms with male sexuality. Now, one of Turd Flinging Monkey's sponsors was a place that made these realistic life like sex dolls. And what ended up happening is MGTOW 101 more or less accused her flinging monkey, and I believe it was Misandry Today, of being pedophiles for selling these sex dolls. And the guy who was running the sex doll business was actually enabling pedophiles, which of course it's kind of hard to do that when you're based out of Britain. And there was a big blow up about it. And my personal consensus on this is, and this is the elephant that enters the room, regardless of what section of the manosphere you're in, but I mean specifically with MGTOW. In some form or fashion, after you have gone through, during the process of the Red Pill Rage, or after you have gone through the Red Pill Rage as a MGTOW, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your sex energy or your biology. Now, in my particular case, I happened to stumble into something written by Napoleon Hill back in the 30s called Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about redirecting your sexual energy towards creative purposes, hence, you know, me getting more into writing, more into the arts, and getting more creative, et cetera, and taking that energy and channeling it that way. Not a lot of men seem to be interested in doing that. Turd Flinging Monkey talks a lot about the sex dolls and sex aids and that type of thing. He's the only one that really actively talks about this particular topic at all. And MGTOW 101, he's a commercial sponsor of Turd Flinging Monkey, and MGTOW 101 basically accused the owner of this doll making company of being a pedophile and supporting pedophilia. Cost Turd Flinging Monkey and Misandry Today their sponsors. Yeah, it was a big blow up. MGTOW 101 pulled the video off YouTube. I think he still might have it up at Twitch, but yeah, that's part of the issue for me. The second part of the issue, and I need to say this right off the bat, I don't support pedophilia, but if somebody's going to be a pedophile, I would much rather have them doing their act on a doll than a real life human being. Right. And that's the only other thing I'm going to say about it. You two guys can pipe up about that, but that's my take on what happened. Oh, and well, no, I'll get into that later. I'll let you two guys have your say on this.
Adrian, go ahead.
I think feminists have come full circle with this. You know, they started out with anger. They started out with all sorts of rationality, and now we're at acceptance. Now everyone on all sides of the gender spectrum is that acceptance that this is going to happen, that sex dolls is going to be a thing. And of course the conversation naturally is, as you sort of specified, that they tend to make sex dolls rather young looking. And so and there's also the fact that, you know, maybe they could be used for somebody who does have those sexual urges for young children. Now, you know, that's not something that I'm comfortable with, but I'd much rather somebody has sex with a doll that, you know, that happens to look young than risk them doing it to an actual person. I think we could save a lot of people's futures by doing that. And so I know it's uncomfortable, and I know people will accuse, as you said, of supporting pedophilia, but I don't think dolls do that really realistically. And I think everyone on all sides of this debate, I think we all have to come to an understanding that no matter how much noise we make, this is something that's inevitably going to happen. Sex dolls are going to be part of the future, and nobody can stop it. And yeah, that's basically all I have to say.
Okay, fair enough. Excuse me. Well, Adrian, I'm actually in pretty much complete agreement with you on it. The idea that any adult, either sex, looks at a child, someone who's basically a minor, 16 is about the threshold that I consider to be tolerable for sexual activity, because let's face it, hormones are just flowing in both sexes at that by that point in time. I haven't done anything with anybody of that age on either sex, and I don't intend to. That being said, I can only speak for my sexual desires and drive, and that's not one of them. I don't know if there's been any real studies on this, but I remember reading a couple of years ago that in Japan they were looking at basically removing hentai. And enough of that stuff is basically dealing with 14, 15, 16 year olds, high school girls. Not something that floats my boat or kickstarts my Harley, but it's there, I believe, as a preventative outlet. And I think that's the reason why that the Japanese government has let it slide, because the likelihood that if you take that away as something to take your stress out watching, at the end of the day, if it means that there's going to be that girl or that boy that isn't going to be touched, it really is the lesser of two evils. And that's the way that I will fully agree with you with this, these dolls, is that if it keeps that person from abducting or molesting, whatever the case may be, that child, then yes, it's the best option available. But I think that we have to also look at the fact that if sex dolls are available and it's a relatively decent manner for a man to relieve his sexual tension with, the power of the pussy is taken away from women overall. And that is going to, I think that this is something that feminists don't like, because they know if they do that, sorry, if these dolls come into existence, and it will happen, and it is happening, whatever it is that they're fighting for, whatever it is that they're screaming for, that suddenly evaporates.
Oh, well, that brings me right to the point of MGTOW. I mean, of all the groups in the manosphere, and this is something that just kind of boggles the mind, even if a lot of MGTOW. You know, Gloria Steinem said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Around 2006, the bicycles went, okay. And they started leaving. And the women started getting pissed off. And it's like, well, you said you didn't need us, so we're leaving. I can do other things with my time. I can tell you that, I mean, on a personal level for me, and I don't actively pursue sex, but I mean, there's a certain degree of freedom, especially after you've gone through the red pill rage process. You come out the other side, there is a massive degree of freedom there to literally go your own way and do your own thing, you know, and not be bound to the concerns of what some other woman that you run into is going to think of you. I mean, I did that interview, for instance, with on my other channel with a woman named Madison, and one of the reasons why I think the interview went so well is because I was just able to like ask her the questions that I needed to ask. I didn't want to get too deep with her, but I mean, I wasn't afraid to ask her some really deep probing questions, and I got some really good answers out of her because I wasn't so much concerned about what she was going to think of me for asking these questions. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I had still been if I had not gone through that red pill process, then I probably wouldn't have been able to do that interview nearly as well as I did. This is the thing about being MGTOW, though, and it's something that's not, except for Turd Flinging Monkey and a couple of other guys in the even in the men's rights movement, there's not a lot of support or a willingness to talk about male sexuality. And I mean, even if you, for instance, when I went through my issues here at the beginning of 2016, when I went to chapters to look up books on male sexuality, there wasn't a lot out there. There was stuff on couple sexuality. There was stuff on gay male sexuality, but there wasn't I was really hard pressed to find a book specifically on men and male sexuality. So there's a lot of guys out there really struggling with this issue. And effectively what MGTOW 101 did is this is the thing with me. He made this issue even more difficult and more hard, more difficult to talk about than it already is. And if you talk to, again, because when I went to Vancouver Film School, I got to talk to people in the porn industry, because some of them wanted to go have me go work, not as a performer, but on the production end. People in the porn industry, they have to deal with everything that you got to deal with on the film industry and everything you have to deal with on the sex industry at the same time, which is why that industry tends to be so harsh on the talent. Mm-hmm. And, if men are going to take charge of their lives and men are going to become complete as human beings, and whether it makes them uncomfortable or not, they're going to have to come to some type of terms with their sexuality, be it heterosexual or homosexual or something in between, and the best way to do that is to find that space to discuss it openly and freely. And we've seen what happened with me too. I mean, having a false accusation being thrown like this out in the MGTOW community was not a healthy move by any stretch of the imagination. And that's all I'm going to say about that for now. You guys can pipe in.
Not really much to add.
I'm going to have to go through my Napoleon Hill CD collection and look for and listen to that. Because I remember listening to it, but it didn't resonate with me at that point in time. Excuse me. That, however, might... That's changed. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely take a look at that and see what he has to say about it. And that's all I have to say on the matter. All right, shall we move on?
All right, I think we've exhausted the topics. I mean, I found one of the topics. I kept thinking there was another topic that I had forgotten about.
FISA.
FISA. And the shit poor ratings on the Grammys. That was the other topic that I was going to bring up tonight.
We know that's because of Russian hacking.
Oh, for sure.
Goddamn Russians.
Yep. Oh, hold on.
Liberal celebrities spent some...
Oh, there we go. Sorry. Yeah, no. I sent Rearson the link for...
Crashing President Donald Trump at the 60th annual Grammy Award. However, they're all now panicking because the ratings have finally come in, and they aren't good news.
Okay, sorry about that, guys. I've clear accident.
Sorry.
The it was fault that musicians couldn't stop attacking Trump throughout the Grammys, although it wasn't as bad. Atrocious. Hello?
Anything?
I think I lost internet for a couple seconds.
I didn't hear the last couple of things you said.
Basically, it was the artists bashing Trump at every moment possible.
Well, obviously, you'd expect that, but, you know, on the other hand, I'd expect most of them to be involved in a Me Too allegation in a couple of months anyway, so why are we listening to them exactly?
I don't know. I stopped listening to most music around about 2000. Ironically enough, because, I mean, although I work, one of the jobs I have, I do the teardown and the setup for the big shows whenever they come into Edmonton. So I get to listen to these performers, albeit from the backstage in a lot of cases. You know, most of them I haven't even heard of. Like, I mean, I did the setup and teardown for One Direction a few years ago, and I mean, I knew what One Direction was. I knew they were a big band. But I never even listened to any. I don't even remember listening to any of their music, like ever.
You're not missing much.
Well, One Direction aren't even a band anymore, so yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of an old news situation. Ratings tanked. Just like with the Oscars. The Oscars are something that had a little bit more of a personal stake in because I work, like I say, I have another channel dedicated to filmmaking. And at one time, before I discovered how innately corrupt the film industry was and how I lost, well, it was a combination of stuff going on in the industry and personal issues that kind of like soured me to filmmaking to a great degree. I mean, I used to watch the Academy Awards like religiously, and I haven't watched an Oscars award show in like 3 years. You know, too much politics. I just want to see the awards. I don't need to see a bunch of self-important celebrities grandstanding.
Oh, that takes that's the just fun out of it now. I stopped giving a shit, or giving a fuck, or a flying fuck for that matter, for any of these award shows, because this is just myself being normally very critical and admittedly very cynical. All of these award shows are basically who's able to kiss ass and get on their knees to do what has to be done to get the award. I don't know what the criteria is. I don't care what the criteria is. And one of the few things that I can say that I took away from watching Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent, or was reading one of his books, I can't remember which, is that he came to the understanding and the realization that in high school, what the football team did for their accomplishments had no bearing on his life. It made no difference whatsoever. And that's the way that I look at every single one of these award shows. Yeah, Lord of the Rings, I thought should have gotten, you know, Fellowship should have gotten some sort of award for the first movie or the second movie. And someone I was indirectly working with at the time, he said, no, what's going to happen is that they're gonna go batshit crazy over Return of the King, because why give way? How can I put this? Why give away everything right off the bat when you know that there's two more segments coming? And then you can shower the entire production team over the making of the trilogy rather than focusing on the handing out the award to on the first lap around the track. And when he had said that, I went, oh. Then I think that's when it really, because I was relatively indifferent to the Grammys and the Oscars and whatever else. Excuse me. But that, I think, really started to set the tone for me to just say, you know what? All this shit doesn't fucking matter. So that was fine. But now, because of how intertwined, like it's really come to light now, how intertwined Democratic Party is with the entertainment industry, whether it's music or movies or whatever else, it's really become much more apparent, I think, to the average person to kind of go, you know what? I'm getting tired of this crap. I just want to watch the football game. I just want to listen to my music, or I'm going to watch a movie, and I don't want to be inundated or have it thrown at me that you're not good enough. I mean, look at Star Wars. Basically, if you don't have a vagina, you're not going to be able to use the Force, or at least that's how it looks right now. So, yeah. I get tired of them.
Well, I'm waiting for the people when Black Panther comes out, for instance. Waiting for them when Black Panther comes out. If the movie's bad, not sure. It's hard to judge a movie by its trailer. Mm-hmm. People dislike the movie. I can't wait for people like BLM to start screaming at people and accuse people of being a racist because they didn't like the Black Panther movie. And it's like, in fact, the actor that had the guy who's actually playing Black Panther, he also played the Human Torch on Fantastic Four. He's a decent enough actor, but he has a non-black girlfriend. And batshit crazy black women are calling for a boycott of the movie because he doesn't have a black girlfriend. And it's like, since the only other time I've actually encountered this where somebody tried to morally police an actor for what they do off screen was one time this religious figure this was in Bollywood. Richard Gere was shooting, I think he was either in India promoting a film or was there shooting a film, and there was a film screen event, and he kissed, not on, maybe on the lips, but basically gave this one Indian actress a kiss on the cheek. And a religious figure saw this and basically called for the woman involved to be killed over it.
Yeah, I remember that. But also remember, too, the look on her face, because that was something you just didn't do in India. Richard Gere, to defend him to some degree, probably not aware, and really enjoyed working with her, and I guess it was his form of appreciation, but that's a taboo. I mean, how many of those god-awful Bollywood movies have you seen where you see the woman, she's basically sticking her head out behind the tree, kind of winks, and then, you know, oh no, what did she do? Well, she was knocking boots, you know, but we're not going to talk about that. So, yeah, that was just an unfortunate faux pas.
No, I'm just glad I'm not having to deal with that particular issue myself.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think it's been a bit of a slow Well, actually, compared with what happened last week, I think pretty much anything would have been slow compared to that. it's been a bit of a slow one. I did bring up that one topic for next week, and Grierson, if you can take a look at that, I would really appreciate it. I can't remember specifically what the topic was again.
Okay, just give me a minute here. Oh, Antifa disrupts LGBT parade. Although this one's going to be interesting.
Yeah, oh, and the quartering contacted me. Yes. Coming on at some point. That was the guy who we were starting to talk about early last week before Jack Day jumped in. So he might come at some point in the next couple weeks. He might come on, but for the most part, I'm working. I'm doing the best I can right now to acquire 2 or 3 Meg Tau to come on next week because it's Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And Valentine's Day for a MGTOW is a bit of a loaded occasion. And again, depending upon whether you're a blue pill cuck or whatever, I mean, a lot of MGTOW have the majority of MGTOW in the MGTOW community right now have not fully gone through the red pill rage. I mean, I'm probably one of the 3 to 5% that have at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of MGTOW right now talk about how they don't need women in their lives. And, you know, Valentine's Day is a very loaded occasion for them. You know, like it was a loaded topic in 12 step meetings, but for a different reason. But for MGTOW, you know, a lot of anger around Valentine's Day for obvious reasons, but also a lot of open celebration of personal independence and freedom. So yeah, I'm going to try to get a few MGTOW to come on next week. It's going to be the Valentine's Day MGTOW extravaganza.
Okay.
So if you guys want to jump on, let me know. But I think this week we're pretty much done. Things are still quiet right now. They're a lot quieter than I was expecting them to be. It's probably not going to stay that way for forever. But yeah, it's certainly no shortage of batshit crazy feminists to do anything about. Unless you guys want to throw in an early comment about Antifa in Sweden protesting a gay rights parade because it's offensive.
Well, obviously we know all those gay people are fascists, fascists as all hell. I'm sure Hitler was gay, so therefore God knows why they're there. I don't know what they're thinking, but It'd be great to actually know what their justification is.
Well, homosexuality is an affront to Islam, and here's the thing, though. I mean, to a great extent, primarily still, the homosexual community is still aligned with feminism. You know, I mean, they're not as aligned as they were 5 years ago. When I talk to gay guys online or when I talk to them in real life, they're getting a lot of gay men. I don't know about the women, but a lot of the gay men are getting a little bit peeved at feminists for thinking that they're somehow magically entitled, that every feminist that they encounter thinks that gay men should just automatically support them just because, you know, that's a sense of entitlement that, you know, I support someone because, you know, I don't support someone just because we happen, just because somebody is the way they are.
Yeah.
And that's just me. And Rearson, you can have last word, and then I'm thinking I'm just going to wrap this one up tonight.
I find this one actually quite funny because this one doesn't make sense to me. Can't quite put my finger on it, but I'd be thinking that Antifa would be more supportive of Islam coming in, and yet supposed to be supportive also of the gay community. At least that's what I've been led to believe, or what my expectation is. I'm going to have to take a look at that, what you sent me. So I'm going to come in better prepared next week when we go into this one. And I'm going to see what I can do about actually trying to find out what alignment Antifa has towards either for or against Islam and for or against the LGBT community. So for the time being, I'm putting this one on hold.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Like I say, compared to last week, anything was going to be slow. Hopefully you guys can make it next week. We should be joined by two or three other MGTOW. There's a couple of them that have expressed interest in coming on. I think a good topic for next week, on top of MGTOW discussing their personal feelings about Valentine's Day, I think it would be a very good topic for us in general to be talking about Valentine's Day as well. And that's where I'm going to leave it. This is Naroki 5. Like, subscribe. Yep, still no Patreon, still no Maker support. I keep meaning to do it, but I keep forgetting to. But like, subscribe, and I will see you all next week.